Welcome to The Trending Show. Now here is your host, Mike Quackenbush.
Thank you for that introduction, Jim, which is comprised entirely of true things. Here on The Trending Show, I deliver unto you the top trending stories of the internet, or, as you may know it, el internet. We fell behind, trendies, so this mini-sode will help get us all caught up. Ready? Go. On Thursday, May 29th, the most searched term of the day was Miami Heat. The high was 83 degrees Fahrenheit, reaching an overnight low of 75. Trending at about the same level Thursday was the term Blackhawks, and before I could even begin to organize a rant about the World War II ace pilot squadron, I saw the term Chicago Blackhawks trending just underneath it. The Chicago Blackhawks are one of two American hockey teams. The other is known as the Los Angeles Kings. I don't know a lot about ice hockey, but I do feel like Alaska should have a team. Lisa Dillman of the LA Times has been covering the most recent string of hockey matches between the two clubs, which has apparently been going on for decades. In this latest series of seven games, American print periodicals have struggled to elicit much interest for the Canadian sport, and have taken on a tone of false pretense as a way to invite any emotional response whatsoever from American citizens not related to or currently playing for the Kings or Blackhawks. Writes Lisa Dillman in her article of May 30th, "Did anyone truly think that the Kings and Chicago Blackhawks would manage to settle the issue in four, five, or six games? Of course not!" Then, just a few stanzas later, she posits, "It's almost as though the Kings have found their spiritual match in the Blackhawks." I think that's something we can all get on board with, if we are willing to overlook the stick-tossing, face-shield-shattering brawls. The most enlightened glimpse into the hidden world of pro hockey came from captain of the Kings, Dustin Brown, who said this of his unnamed teammate, known on the streets only as Number 88. Quote, "We've got to limit his time and space," end quote. Devourer of the corporeal and temporal Number 88 is set to appear in a post-credit scene of the Fantastic Four reboot where, due to licensing issues, he will be represented by a blue and purple cloud. Lance Stephenson was trending high on Thursday after being sliced to ribbons in the media by Indiana Pacer and tall human Paul George. Sports fans were aghast at the uncensored remarks regarding Stephenson, who is about to become a free agent, and the vitriol with which his teammate delivered them. At a press conference on Thursday, John George was asked about whether or not Stephenson should return to the Indiana Pacers, the beleaguered group that hasn't won any championships since departing the XBA in 1967. He said, quote, "I mean, I don't know. That's for Larry, Kevin, for them to decide." An inconsolable Lance Stephenson was found in the fetal position, surrounded by licked clean Ben and Jerry's pints as Ally McBeal reruns played in the background. In his final act of the basketballian ritual to affirm himself Pacer Alpha male, Ringo George then bought up 100 Starbucks stores in urban areas and launched his own music label and gave the AIDS to Donald Sterling. Edward Snowden was trending again. You may recall that last year he disclosed documents illegally culled by the NSA and is either a traitor or a patriot, depending on how that makes you feel. Snowden is in the midst of a 365-day period of asylum in Russia, having fled the U.S. for Hong Kong first and then being denied entry into Cuba. Snowden was trending because emails in which he raises concerns about the practices of the NSA have surfaced. The existence of these emails has been denied in the past by the NSA, and the fact that they do exist contradicts published reports from the ever-trustworthy U.S. government. Partially redacted emails between Snowden and the NSA's lawyers prove that he did attempt to raise concerns about potentially illegal practices through the proper channels. And furthermore, the fact that his emails about these practices have been partially redacted only heightens the feeling that the NSA has something to hide. If, like me, you wonder why anyone would choose to remain in Russia for a period of time longer than it takes to change planes, this is an important point to consider. Because of the espionage charges associated with the leaked documents Snowden outed, if he returned to the United States to face those charges, he would not be permitted a defense. He cannot argue the claim that these activities are illegal and unconstitutional because charges of espionage are considered indefensible under our system of law. A return to the U.S. would automatically mean a 30-year prison sentence for Snowden, which is marginally worse than having asylum in Russia, and that opinion is the sum of my experiences watching the HBO series Oz and the 1985 Dan Aykroyd comedy Spies Like Us. At the end of the week, everyone was searching for Ava Green, and whoever is marketing the movie Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, should be getting a raise. Sin City is a wild crime noir comic book by Frank Miller with long-standing critical acclaim, but the kind of popularity that does not really move the pop culture needle at all. So much so that over on the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe, where Clayton Morris and I probably spend more time talking about comic book movies than any other topic at all, we have mentioned this sequel zero times. The buzz for this movie, prior to Friday, could be described as non-existent. And the original Sin City, which hit theaters back in April of 2005, has more than faded from the popular consciousness. Enter the controversy, my friends. The Motion Picture Association of America has banned the new movie poster featuring Ava Green from being displayed in theaters because of the sheer white robe Ava is wearing, as it is deemed too revealing. There is no objection to the way the poster glamorizes the gun she is holding. And so, this August's movie sequel, which was not moving the needle whatsoever on Thursday, had its movie poster searched up over 50,000 times just on Friday alone. It generated more internet traffic than movies that actually opened on Friday, like Maleficent and A Million Ways to Die in the West. And that's the reality of marketing in 2014. Cobra Electronics made it possible for me to give you the trending show free of charge this week. Oh, and last week. And next week, too. So visit them over at Cobra.com, won't you please? They are terrific. Before I sit down to make you another trending show, I'm going to sit down with Clayton Morris and make a Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe, where I bet we're going to talk about X-Men Days of Future Past, and tons of other stuff, too. So join me over there, and then I'll meet you back here for another edition of the trending show in about a week. Adios, amigos.